We are in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 this morning. If you have a Bible, I hope that you'll turn over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 21 and 22 will be our main text reading this morning. We're in a series called Certain Future. And I think, just like you think, every day, multiple times a day, as I'm trying to plan and make decisions, I think about how uncertain things are even for tomorrow or next week or next month. It's just that we're in uncharted territory and we do not know what comes next exactly. But there are certain things in the Bible that are for sure, that are certain. Last week we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus and I preached a message called Certain Resurrection. Today I want to talk about something that may seem morbid at first, but you're going to find a lot of hope in. And the title of the message is Certain Death. Because we all know, one for one, 100%, whether we're old when it happens, or middle-aged when it happens, or young when it happens, every one of us that is born will die. And I want to talk about what the scripture says about that today. So before we jump into our text, let's pray together. God, I pray right now for my brothers and sisters, my friends, my family watching from all over. God, I pray that you would give them ears to hear the things that you have to say to them today. I pray that you would give them eyes to see the things that you want them to see today. Speak to us, God, as we study your word. Speak to us by the power of your spirit and do the things in our hearts and our minds and our lives that only you can manufacture. God, I pray for healing and help and hope for people today. I pray for salvation. God, I ask that you would draw people by your spirit, and we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. So let's read this text together. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 21 and 22. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Now, certainly one of the fears, probably one of the greatest fears we all have when we sort of really focus on fear, is death. And it might not be the only fear, it might even be the greatest fear, but it is a fear that all people have. In general, it is something that people are afraid of. In fact, that fear is part of what's driving everything that we're going through now. And the point I want to raise to you today is really twofold. One is that our God is a creator of life, and two, that death cannot separate you from the love of Christ. And so let's just jump into this as we understand the passage together. So let's start here, that even though death is a reality for all of us, that God from the beginning has been a creator that breathed life into things. Out of nothing, he created a man. Out of dust from the earth, he created and breathed life in. For the woman, he took a rib out of the man and created the woman. I mean, it's miraculous. It's only God that could breathe that kind of life in people. And he set them in this perfect place called the Garden of Eden. It was paradise. And there was no death there until sin enters the picture in Genesis chapter 3. And even though God is a life giver, that sin causes everything to break. Now, what we learn of in John chapter 10 is that Jesus says that he came to give life and have it abundantly. God is a life giver, right? But the scripture also says in John 10 that the enemy came to kill, steal, and destroy. And so when we think about Adam and Eve and that first sin, and sin is just, it is just walking away from the things that God said are best for us. It's disobeying God and choosing our own way. And when Adam and Eve sin for the first time, they take the fruit of that tree that they were not supposed to take. It has consequences. It sounds like a small disobedience, but it has consequences. Instantly, they are cast outside of paradise. God is still with them, but their bodies now age to the point of death. on the other side of sin. And because we are all born in Adam, we will all die. And that's important for us to understand, but the reality is that God is a creator of life. Now, back to our main text, 1 Corinthians 15:21, for as by a man came death through Adam because of sin, by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead. This is speaking of Jesus, whom we celebrated last week on Easter Sunday as the resurrected Lord Jesus. So he's reversed everything and his death on the cross and his resurrection. And God is giving us now through Jesus new life. Now here's the thing. We learn in the scriptures, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. So because Adam sinned, because I sinned, because we all sin, the wages of sin is death. My body's gonna die because I live in a Genesis 3 reality that is sinful. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, meaning we're going to have the other side of that physical death, we're gonna have life that lasts forever and never ends only through Jesus. For every one of us, Hebrews chapter 9:27 says, and just as it is appointed for man to die once, we're all going to die once, and after that comes the judgment. Now, in all of this certain future series, we're going to talk about things like judgment because it is certain. We're going to talk about things like heaven because it is certain. We're going to talk about things like hell and eternal life because they are certain. But today, we're going to focus specifically on passing from death to life. God created us for life. That's his plan. That's his purpose. When sin wrecks it, he raises up another in Jesus to give us new life. Now, here's the second thing. Death cannot separate us from Christ. Romans 8, verses 38 to 39 says this, for I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So here's the good news for all of you who are believers in Jesus Christ, who have confessed your sins to him for forgiveness and experienced his grace and his mercy. He's changed your life. Here's the good news. Is that even death itself of your physical body cannot separate you from God because of the love of Christ. There is no possible way according to the scriptures. So then the question becomes, well, what happens when I die? What is it gonna be like? Does the Bible speak to that? And the answer to that question is yes, and I wanna give you three thoughts related to that. First is that when we depart from this body, we will be with Jesus and Christ. So when we depart, the moment we depart from this body, we will be with Jesus. Now, Paul makes some statements that highlight that. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Here's what he says. Yes, we are of good courage, and we would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. Now, here's a couple things I'd like you to understand. First of all, Paul is saying that we're of good courage while we're living here. And here in this body on this earth, Paul is calling that away. He's saying his home is in heaven, the kingdom of heaven. But while he's away, he has good courage because of his faith. And he would rather be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. So we're living here, we make it our aim to please him, but we would rather be at home with him. Philippians 1, 20, 21 to 23, it says, For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am to live in this flesh, this body, that means fruitful labor for me. Yet, which shall I choose? I cannot tell. I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for this is far better. So Paul's understanding is that the moment he departs, he's going to be with Christ. The moment he's away from the body, he's home with Jesus. One of my friends once described it to me as like walking from one room to the next. And this is Paul's clear assumption as he writes these New Testament letters. John said that in our Father's house, meaning the house of God, the kingdom of heaven, in our Father's house, there are many rooms, and he's gone to prepare a place for us. And then later he would say, I am the way to that place, that household, my Father's household. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And this is Jesus talking. So what we understand is that when we leave this body in death, in Christ, only in Christ, we move into a new reality, a heavenly realm of the Father's household. We will depart, and when we depart, we will be with Jesus. Now, there's a tension. I would call it the already and not yet sort of tension, because what the scripture teaches is that because I am saved, because I confessed with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, because I believed in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I'm saved. I've asked his forgiveness. I've trusted his work on the cross to forgive me and make me righteous, because I can't do enough good things to make myself holy enough to get into heaven. And I trust that when he was raised again, he overcame the penalty of sin, and which is death. And so when I trust him, then I learn that I'm saved, meaning I am, even though I'm a 46-year-old person in flesh, I'm living eternal. I don't even know how old I am anymore. I'm living eternal life now, meaning at some point down the road, my body's going to die, but my spirit will live on with Jesus. I will depart and live with him. I will never forget, and I bet you can imagine, as a pastor for these years, I have seen and been a part of so many funerals, and I will never forget the first time that I saw someone that I loved in an open casket in a funeral. And it had the semblance of them. It resembled them, but it didn't look exactly like them anymore. And the question is why? And the reality is, the reason is that body of dust that's laying there in the casket, it no longer contains the soul. That soul has gone to depart and be with Jesus. And so here's the thing. I'm already living eternal life. I'm already saved. I'm already going to go to heaven when I die. I can already walk with Jesus. I'm not waiting to get to heaven to receive his promises, to walk in his truth, to understand peace that passes understanding, all of that. But there is a not yet part of this. So back to our main text, 1 Corinthians 15:22. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. What that means is not only spiritually, but physically, one day I will be made alive again. Paul, in his letter to the church at Rome, says something that I think we all will relate to. Romans chapter 7, 24. He said, "Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" In other words, he's living in a body. He's saved. He's walking with Jesus, but he's living in a body that is so prone to sin. It's so prone to sickness. It's prone to death because of sin. And he's waiting for that deliverer to deliver him from his own body. And that will be Jesus. It will be Christ that makes us alive again. So already we've been made alive in Christ, but we're still living in this body of death. And this is the not yet part, the part that is to come, that's certain about our future, is that we will be raised not in an earthly body, but in a heavenly body. Now, this is perhaps some of the most fascinating scripture related to certain death and our future. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 45 to 49. Here's what it says. Thus it is written, "The first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. So the last Adam is Jesus. So we get Adam of Adam and Eve that sinned, and then we get the second Adam, according to the scripture, is Jesus, who lived sinlessly on the earth, died on a cross, rose again from the dead, ascended to heaven. So the last Adam, Jesus, became a life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural and then the spiritual. So this body of mine that is natural, it's going to live first before this spiritual. The first man was from the earth, a man of dust. The second man is from heaven. He's the living Son of God. He's the second person of the Trinity. He's God himself in the flesh. As was the man of dust, so also are those who are of dust. And as is the man of heaven, so also are those who are of heaven. Just as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man of heaven. So here's what's getting ready to come about. Right now, as you look at me, I bear the image of Adam. Yes, Genesis 1:27, I was created in the image of God, but this flesh of mine, this is in the image of Adam. This is something that's going to die. It's going to return to dust. And when that happens, I'm going to depart from the body and I'm going to be with Jesus. And we're learning from Paul now, though, that in that time, as appropriated by Jesus himself, we will be transformed. This is the not yet. It hasn't happened yet for me, but it will. We will be transformed and we will take on the image of the man of heaven, meaning we will be like he was after he was raised from the dead. So he's recognizable. He's different though, because he leaves that body of dust behind and he takes on the image of heaven. So one day, and this brings me so much hope, one day after our physical body dies, we are going to bear the image of the man of heaven more perfectly. And we'll be different. We'll be changed. Not only internally in our soul, but we'll be changed bodily as we bear the image of heaven. And this is good, good news. Now, third thing, if God is a creator of life, then death is the enemy, is the enemy's greatest sort of tool, because it's the opposite of everything that God is. And so, we learn in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I'm gonna pick up right where we left off with our main text, verse 23. Says, but each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom of God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. So there is a time coming when Jesus will return. He will set everything right and return, according to the scripture, return the kingdom in order under his authority to God. And the last enemy that will be put to death is death itself. And it will be no more. In fact, the writer of Revelation says that at that time there will be no more tears, no more crying, no more pain. Inside the gates of heaven, we have no sin, no brokenness, only life. And it's because of the work of Jesus on the cross. And what that does for every believer, that understanding, that theology of death, that God is a creator of life, that sin, we get death because of sin, and death is Satan's tool. But God sent his son Jesus to die on a cross. He paid the penalty for our sins, but he overcame the penalty of sin, which is death, by being raised again and ascending to heaven. He's coming back again, and he's going to throw death and Satan and all of his demons in the pit forever. And we are going to live bearing a heavenly image in the presence of God, in the Father's household, in Christ. It's all because of Jesus. All because of Jesus, no one else, no other way according to the scripture. And what that does for us in a situation like a pandemic is it allows us to check our emotion with faith, because we believe there's more to it than what we see right now. That what we're living now is only a blip on the radar compared to all that is to come. And all that is to come is better in the presence of God and all of that. And death will be destroyed. In fact, Paul continues to write in 1 Corinthians 15, 55 to 57, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul is saying, like, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I'll depart, I'll go to be with him. And that gospel, that good news that Jesus made me righteous by his work on the cross, he defeated the penalty of sin, which is death, by coming out of the grave. That good news that if I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, I'll be saved. That good news gives me hope. And it's a promise for eternity. In fact, the Bible says it's certain. So many times we think uncertain things are certain. And certain things are uncertain. Let me just give you an example. You would have never thought that you couldn't gather in a church today, a month ago. You thought this was certain. It's obviously not. But what is certain is the promises that ring true in Scripture, meaning when we die, we'll depart and be with Jesus in Christ because of the work he did on the cross. That is certain and for sure. And there is no sting in death in that regard for the one who believes. Now, let me say this. I know what it's like to lose someone very close to me that I love. It's grievous. It hurts. The point of this message is not that death does not hurt, that we don't grieve. It was 12 years ago, my mom died of a glioblastoma. And I remember just the pain. I think I was about 35 at the time. And I remember I felt like an 8-year-old inside. And the grief was real. And in fact, God gave us those emotions to grieve. And maybe many of you are listening today and you hear the theology of this and you're excited about the framework and the truth, but the reality is you still feel the grief of a lost loved one or someone who's sick that you're concerned about right now, or you name the situation. That grief is real. And it's okay and normal to feel, but the Bible says when someone is in Christ, like my mom was, we can grieve with hope. Which means it's not that we don't grieve, it's not that we sweep our grief under the rug, we do grieve, but we grieve with hope, knowing that that person, because of Christ and his work on the cross, departed from the body and was in the presence of the Lord. And this is the gospel, my friends, that we can be forgiven of our sins, which comes with a high price, death. And we can experience new life in Jesus that changes us from the inside out now and eventually will find us after we die in this physical body, find us in the presence of the Lord in the household of faith, bearing his image even in bodily form. That is the gospel. That is the good news that Christ did something for us that we could never, ever do on our own. It's true. 100% of us will die. I hope that you live a long life. And like Paul, you say, you know, while I'm here, my aim is Christ. I love it when he says, to live is Christ, to die is gain. You understand when you get there in your faith, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Like, while I'm here, I'm going to love God, love people, serve him well with courage and compassion, and give him everything that I've got. But if I die, I'm going to depart and be with the Lord, and that's even better. And when you come to that place in your faith, believer, you have now become dangerous to hell and exemplary for the kingdom. You can be salt and light because you're not worried even for your own life. that you live so the whole world will know Christ. And when you die, you depart and be with him, and that is even better. And in that way, you become dangerous to hell and effective for the kingdom. But it is true, we will all die. And those in Christ will live again. I want to encourage you this way this morning. If you're sitting there listening to this, and you think to yourself, I've heard that before, I've kind of got that framework down, but I'm not sure I've ever really put my faith in Jesus. I'm not sure I've really ever confessed with my mouth that he's Lord and believed in my heart, I'm not raised from the dead. Maybe you even question, like, am I saved? What would happen to me when I die? And we're going to find in the series, when you die, everyone faces judgment, and Jesus is the judge, and those in Christ will go to the Father's household, everything we just talked about. But there's another reality, a certain reality called hell, and it's eternal separation from God for those that aren't in Christ. Everybody can come, but there's only one way. And maybe you don't know, like you don't know if you're saved. Here's what you need to do. You simply pray. Maybe you've never prayed. Maybe you've prayed many times. But you simply pray, and it can be a simple prayer, just like, Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. I believe you died on a cross to save me. I believe you rose again and defeated the penalty of sin, which is death. And I believe you for my eternal life. Come into my heart. Forgive me of my sins. Be Lord of my life. You need to pray something like that. And the Bible says that he will, if you mean it in an authentic way, he will. And that belief of yours, the work of salvation, is on your part to believe. When you believe, he comes in, he transforms you. Your name, according to the scriptures, written in the book of life. And when you die, you will depart and you will be with him. If that's you today, we'd like to know about it. Simply because we want to come alongside you, hoping that you're going to live a long time. We want to come alongside you and show you, demonstrate for you, help you walk out your faith in Jesus. What comes next? We want to answer that question for you. If you made that decision today, or you have any spiritual decision that you need to let us know about so we can reach out to you, you can text the word RESPONSE to 94090 and share with us your spiritual decision. We want to know what God's doing in your life, and we want to come alongside of you and help you and equip you in every way. Let's take time now simply to bow our heads and pray. I'm going to give you a few moments in silence, and then we'll pray together. Father, we are desperately in need of you, not only for living life now, but for life after our physical death. So would you draw us near by your Spirit? Father, I pray for friends and family, brothers and sisters, people that are connecting with us for the very first time today. God, I pray that your word has spoken to them, that by your Spirit, you're sort of wooing them toward you. And would you give them the courage to reach out to you, God, in prayer through Jesus and pray, asking you to forgive them of sins, confessing their belief in your salvation through the crucifixion and resurrection. And give all of us hope in Jesus, knowing that this body that we're in is from the man of dust. But one day, we will bear a heavenly image. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us, for giving yourself for us. Thank you for life that's eternal. Thank you for creating a place for us. Thank you that we'll be with you. And Lord, we just exclaim to you that while we're away from that heavenly household, the Father's household, we're here. We make it our aim to serve you. We want to love you well and love people well. But when you take us home, we'll be with you, and that'll be even better. And so, God, we pray, use our hands and our feet, the words of our mouth, the meditation of our heart, the thoughts of our mind now for your glory on this earth, that many might know you. And we look forward to the day when we bear your heavenly image and receive the fullness of your promise, our certain future. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.